Well, hello there and welcome back. My name is Stephanie Safarian and you are listening to episode 230 of the Sustainable Minimalist Podcast, a twice weekly show about intentional and eco-minimalist living. On today's episode, we are discussing all things coffee. Most people don't think about the environmental or ethical considerations associated with coffee, right? We just like what we like. But coffee is a crop. And to be more specific, the coffee bean we know and love is actually a coffee cherry that grows on the branches of a coffee tree. And so coffee then is subject to all of the same ethical and environmental considerations associated with any crop that is produced for the masses. So if you've always been buying the same brand of coffee in the bag from the supermarket, or if you've been heading to your local neighborhood coffee shop for years because you like what you like, this is the episode for you. Today I'm speaking with David Sells. David is the co-founder of Better Grounds, an organic coffee subscription service. David, I'm really excited to talk to you today. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks, Stephanie. Excited to talk to you as well.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about how you decided out of all the jobs on the planet, you were going to co-found a subscription service for coffee?
It really started with my own aha moment. And that was going to a local cafe, specialty coffee shop that had, you know, manual brew, pour over coffee that was very origin specific. And for me, coffee was coffee. Go to Starbucks, you get a dark roast coffee, that's great. What I used to like was dark coffee. And the thing with dark roast coffee is that really dark roast coffee tends to roast away all of that, you know, unique flavor, all of the origin profile. And so I equated dark roast to strong and bold coffee taste and light roast to really watery. So it was when I went to this, you know, local specialty shop and had this really light roast coffee that was made with care. And I just tasted this bouquet of fruit and I could taste in it the blueberry and the lemon. And it was just a whole new experience, an aha moment. That is really what set me on the coffee journey. And along with my longtime friend and now business partner, Tyler, we recently launched Better Grounds, which as you mentioned, is an all organic specialty coffee subscription. Basically, what we're out to do is discover and partner with roasters across the country who are pushing for both a more environmentally as well as a more economically sustainable future in coffee.
I love that. You said made with care, I believe is the term you used for that first cup of flavorful coffee. I am embarrassed to admit this, but before in my previous life as a teacher, I would stop at Dunkin' Donuts. I don't even know if you know what Dunkin' Donuts is, but it's this like chain of cruddy coffee here in New England. I would stop at Dunkin' Donuts every single morning and those cups of coffee weren't made with care and I didn't taste any fruity goodness in my mouth, but I like what I like. And it took me a long time to find the bag that I like, my go-to at the supermarket. So the thought of changing such a deeply embedded routine, you know, I don't like change. I like what I like and I want to stick with it. I'm wondering if we could start this conversation by you telling me, teaching me and my listeners, like, what is it that we perhaps don't know about our coffee from an environmental perspective?
Yeah, great question. So there are really four sort of considerations that would call attention to. One of those being quality, alluded to sort of economic sustainability, health considerations, and then environmental sustainability, which is that last point that you hit on. So sort of first talking about the environmental considerations that are at play. A lot of the coffee that we are seeing and buying in the supermarket on the shelves or at sort of these more global chain cafes, this is commodity grade coffee or lower grade specialty coffee. So a lot of this is coming from large monocrop farms, and there are a whole host of negative unintended consequences that do come from that. So if we look at, say, the largest coffee producing region in the world, which is Brazil, similar to a lot of the other large scale agriculture that we have become very familiar with and aware of, you know, large scale animal agriculture, coffee is a very similar story where you have a lot of deforestation that deforestation is devastating to the, you know, root systems, to the ecosystems that surround those coffee plantations. Other challenges with that conventional coffee production is that when you do cut down your native forest and trees that surround coffee, coffee is meant to grow under a canopy of trees. So a lot of that shade that is provided by those canopy trees also protect coffee from invasive species like insects. So what happens when we're not only cutting down this land, but now all of a sudden there are complications with invasive species? So how do we combat those invasive species? We treat them with a whole host of chemicals, which includes pesticides and herbicides. And unfortunately, conventional coffee is one of the most chemically treated crops in the world. Negative health considerations for those farmers and farm workers who are handling the crops, who are spraying the chemicals, those in surrounding communities who are impacted by the air and the water that is now saturated with these chemicals. Then, of course, when it comes to us, there are the considerations of what residual chemicals remain in those cups. Being so heavily treated, one thing you typically hear is that some of those chemicals are roasted off during the roasting process. However, there's no good regulation or standards to identify what residual chemicals remain in that cup that we're drinking every single day.
So what are the price differences then? I know organic food is more expensive than its conventional counterparts. Is there a big price difference when we're talking about organic or perhaps even fair trade coffee?
Typically see a couple factors at play when we talk about price. Fair trade and organic are both going to drive up price minimums. So one incentive for farmers to obtain an organic certification is that they are going to be able to obtain a higher price. So if we're talking first about commodity coffee, so this is coffee that, like a lot of the other largest agricultural products, wheat and soy, these are traded on the open market in really large lots by global buyers who are focused on keeping prices low. So when buying that commodity grade coffee, there is a premium that's assigned to organic coffee on that open market. Similar to fair trade, there are minimum prices set by the fair trade certification for the price of coffee at export. The one sort of element then, though, that adds into that price scale becomes the quality component. So even when talking about organic, even when talking about fair trade, there is a wide gap between commodity coffee and then, you know, what we consider specialty grade. Now, when we talk about specialty coffee is defined by the Specialty Coffee Association as any coffee that scores 80 points or above on a scale of 100. Coffee that is grown at the right altitude, in the right conditions, in really healthy, nutrient-rich soil that's harvested at the right time is going to produce a much better taste experience than, say, that commodity coffee that is maybe not grown at the optimal conditions and is used, you know, treated with chemicals and things of that nature to boost the yield of that coffee. When we layer in that specialty component, that's where that price becomes a sliding scale. So it's I would equate that to, you know, the majority of products that we find on the shelves, right? There are a lot of really low cost products that are accessible to us today. But oftentimes we look at that end of the spectrum and, you know, where are the low cost food items? These tend to be your heavily processed foods, right? Where we don't have a good sense of where those ingredients are sourced from.
A question I often ask myself when making a purchasing decision, not necessarily with just coffee, but with anything, is ask myself, is this too cheap? Who's paying for the cheapness here? Somebody or something is always paying that difference. So if you're used to buying a bag of coffee for $4, that to me sounds too cheap, right? There's so many moving parts to grow coffee, roast coffee, ship coffee, to get it into your local supermarket. $4 doesn't seem to cover all those aspects. You were mentioning the difference between commodity coffee and specialty coffee. Is there a huge difference in taste? And I know you're going to say yes, but I guess a better way to ask this question would be, can somebody like me who likes coffee but is not an aficionado by any means, am I going to taste the quality difference?
Absolutely. So when we talk about quality in coffee, that flavor spectrum is extremely diverse. So what a lot of us don't realize is coffee actually has more flavor compounds than wine. based on the nutrients in that soil, based on that altitude that it's grown at, based on the variety of coffee, hundreds of varietals of coffee within sort of broader categories of Arabica, Robusta. There's a whole world of these different plant species that are grown that on their own are going to produce a different flavor profile. And then the soil that they're grown in is going to produce a different flavor profile. But one thing to consider when we're experiencing that flavor is that coffee does go stale. So when we talk about quality, another component to better understand when we're making coffee purchasing decisions is, when was this coffee roasted by? If the roast date is on a bag of coffee, we want to try to buy coffee within the first 3 weeks of when it was roasted. So whole bean coffee starts to lose its peak flavor after 3 weeks of being roasted. Ground coffee really starts to lose a lot of its flavor compounds within an hour of being ground. So if we're drinking fresh coffee that is well-sourced, that is more regionally focused, where it's going to retain a lot of that stronger origin character profile of the region that it was sourced from, we can really start to experience those unique flavors that that individual coffees have.
Hmm. What I love about talking to you is that I just get the passion in your voice. You clearly love coffee, and it makes me want to love it as well. I usually use coffee as for the caffeine, right? Wake up, get my life together. But you're talking about flavor profiles. You're talking about different hints of this and that. And like, I'm on board. So I want to talk to you about some simple steps my listeners can take as they seek to tweak the way they do their coffee routines. We're going to get into all of that after a quick word from this week's sponsor. If you've been paying attention, you've likely heard something about gut health and why zoning in on your gut health is so darn important. You need EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. It's a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense because I have a bloating problem, friends. Yes, I do. Inflammation is not my friend. Since taking one capsule a day on an empty stomach with water, I have noticed more energy, improved skin, and here's the big one, reduced bloating. Head to myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and so much more. That's myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. And we are back with Dave Sells, co-founder of Better Grounds, an organic coffee subscription service. Dave, I want to talk to you about fair trade coffee, because I feel as though when it comes to fair trade, the two products that come to my mind is coffee and chocolate. So where does the fair trade certification fall in with this conversation? And what are your thoughts? If there's a fair trade logo on a bag of coffee, should we assume that that's where we should put our money, or am I missing something?
This really brings us back to the economic sustainability portion of coffee. There has long been a price problem in coffee. Coffee prices are dictated by the commodity market. So regardless of where the coffee is grown, regardless of the cost of living in those different countries, which may be very different in Colombia compared to in Burundi or somewhere in Indonesia and these different coffee producing regions, but we have global markets that dictate the price of coffee. That commodity price of coffee, the majority of coffee that's being bought, the price being paid, just simply does not provide for living wages for producers. Oftentimes, the price of coffee the amount of what's paid for coffee that actually makes it back to a farmer is lower than the production cost. So what we're finding in coffee is that it's not a viable business for a lot of people. So fair trade was established to protect some of these prices and to establish a higher floor for the prices paid for a pound of coffee at export to ensure that living wages were provided to producers who were selling their coffee on the open market. The challenge with fair trade is that oftentimes that price is just held below where the living wage price really needs to be. So currently, we actually have a fair trade price of $1.40 per pound that sits below the current, you know, commodity market price of $2 per pound. While fair trade has done wonders to start the conversation, to raise concerns concerns around prices paid. As mentioned, that price has just stayed too low and is not dynamic enough to account for what the change in real living wages are.
So you bring up a lot of really important points there. I would say for myself and for my listeners who don't know half as much about coffee as you do, we would go to the store. We would perhaps, if we're trying to make an ethical purchase, we would look for the one with that third-party certification, the fair trade label. We would take it home and we would feel good about ourselves. With all the pitfalls associated with the fair trade certification on coffee, how can we shop more mindfully for coffee? And I guess a better way to ask this question would be, how do you shop for coffee?
It really all starts with seeking to understand where our products came from. So like we talked about with food and with our produce, the best thing that we can always do as a consumer is try to understand, where did this product come from? What's the impact that it had along the way? One thing that is always a good practice is to find a brand that you can know and trust that they are asking those questions, that they're doing that due diligence. To your point, the one thing that differs with coffee from produce is that a lot of us go to our local farmers markets and we can talk to the farmers and we can ask about their growing practices. So even if they don't have a certification attached to it, they can tell us that they're not certified, but they can explain their farm practices. They'll invite us out, to see the farm if we're interested. We don't have that luxury. We can't travel to and talk to the farmer, in Ethiopia or Burundi. There's a little bit more of a barrier there. So how do we find the people who we're comfortable with knowing that they are doing the due diligence so that when we buy that bag of coffee, we can truly feel good about not only the health implications for ourselves and the experience that we're going to have, but also that impact it had on the people and the planet along the way. Organic certification is tremendous signaling, right? Fair trade certification is still a good indication, right? I think with all certifications, they are not perfect. However, supporting certifications is signaling, right? So even if the fair trade minimum falls short, a coffee can be fair trade certified. It doesn't mean that that roaster did not go above and beyond and pay more than the fair trade. So by buying fair trade, we are still signaling that, this is something the market cares about. Another thing to look for would be the region that the coffee was grown in. So if we just buy a bag of coffee and it just says Brazil across it, Brazil is by far the largest producing country in the world. Over a third of the coffee in the world is grown in Brazil. And unfortunately, when we talk about, a lot of the ethical concerns around coffee, when we talk about a lot of the farm concerns around coffee, Brazil does not have the best reputation. And a lot of that has been driven by the desire to decrease input costs to feed low prices at the consumer level, which leads to the deforestation and using chemicals in an attempt to increase yield. If a coffee talks about the farm or it talks about the region that it was grown in, that's both going to lead to a most likely more unique taste experience, but it's also a pretty good indicator that there was more thought put around, how that coffee was purchased. We talked about roast date, looking for roast date. If you buy a coffee that is 2 weeks off of the roast date, well, odds are that the people who are sourcing and are roasting this coffee are also more thoughtful about other practices because they care about that quality. They care about freshness. So that's a good indicator of what went into the sourcing of that coffee.
You gave so many really great tips, but the question that comes to my mind is, can we find the coffee that you've just so aptly described? Can the average listener find that coffee in their run-of-the-mill average supermarket?
Yeah, great question. So I think we're seeing more and more local roasters who are, thoughtful about their sourcing and roasting practices, who are partnering with grocery stores, and we're seeing more local coffee show up on the shelves. So buying and supporting those local roasters, but also accessibility online. So has, of course, opened up a world to all of the people out there. And sort of what we found is that finding that coffee that met the intersection of both quality and sustainability can be really, really challenging. So sometimes going out and finding those brands, finding those roasters who are doing better, who are driving towards that transparency, has never been more accessible than it is today.
So I want to talk to you about two more things. I want to talk to you about Better Grounds, but I also want to ask you how you roast your cup of coffee. Do you French press it? Do you, I don't even know. Do you have a drip machine? I want to know all of that because I've never talked to somebody who knows so much about coffee before, and I need to glean all the wisdom. Before we do that, let's talk about Better Grounds. I alluded to it being a subscription service. Talk to me about it. How does it work?
Great question. So what we're doing is we are talking to and partnering with roasters and importers who are sourcing this exceptional coffee that meets these different pillars of economic, environmental sustainability, as well as taste, right? So not to lose sight of that, not only organic coffee that's also good for the people growing it, but these are exceptional, you know, coffees that provide for really, really unique taste experience. So we partner with a new roaster every single month. And our goal is to tell the story of that roaster, to tell the story of that coffee and where it came from. So we want to be that source of due diligence for people so that you know when you get a cup of coffee, not only is it going to be something that's new and unique and exciting to try, but also you can feel really, really confident in the health implications as well as the impact that it had on the people and the planet along the way. So for subscribers, that means you can select the roast profile, can select whole bean or ground coffee, can select the quantity of coffee, and that's going to be delivered to you every month.
What I love about Better Grounds is that it solves a major problem for me as a consumer. I do not have time to personally vet the coffee that I'm drinking every morning. And so you're essentially doing that for me every single month. So now I have to ask you, tell me all about how you prepare your morning cup of coffee. What do you do and what can I do to make my morning cup of coffee taste better?
Well, just like coffee is incredibly diverse, from a, origin and flavor profile, the brewing methods are also just as diverse. So I will admit that, my wife does question my decision to bring additional coffee equipment in the house because sometimes some say it looks like a chemistry lab, but part of the fun, and clearly I'm an enthusiast on a whole different level, but there are no shortage of brew methods. So depending on the day, I typically enjoy manual brew methods, which means grinding and heating the kettle, gooseneck kettle, and having a cone pour over cup that I'm pouring my coffee over every day. An AeroPress is a really interesting device that's very versatile that I'll use. Pour over is something that I really enjoy. But recognizing that we don't all have the desire or ability, right, to take the time in the morning to make a pour over cup of coffee. The automatic brewers, coffee pots have come a long way. French presses are, very easy to use, user-friendly tools. So really what's important is finding what you like. So, I tend to like a really clean cup. So if you're, having a pour over coffee that's going through a metal cone filter, that's going to filter out more of the oils and the compounds that might end up in a French press, which gives a French press a little bit more of a, rich, creamy mouthfeel and a little bit more body. So it comes down to preference and it comes down to time. When we talk about, the increased cost of drinking better quality coffee, one way that we can, reduce that cost is reducing waste. So, I think a lot of times there's a habit of building, brewing. And what I found for myself is that if I, get in the habit of waking up and I brew, a full pot of coffee, well, I might have a couple of cups off of that and I never get back to it. And then I find myself throwing out coffee. So that's what prompted me to switch to a more manual brew method was in order to reduce waste. But for, a household, where there are a lot of, a lot of mugs being filled with the coffee pot, that's a great approach too.
Well, I must say, I would love to, maybe you can take a picture of your chemistry lab and send it to me. I'd love to see. I'm over here thinking I'm so smart and special with my French press, but you just put me to shame. Tell me where listeners can learn more about Better Grounds.
Absolutely. So we can be found at bettergrounds.co, that's .co, as well as follow us on Instagram at bettergrounds. And for any listeners who are interested in giving us a try, we have a promo code for podcast listeners, which is code minimalist. And with that code, listeners will be able to receive 50% off their first month's coffee.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you so much for coming on. You have given me a lot of excitement to do some things a little bit differently. I want to taste all the flavors in my morning cup. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Stephanie. It's been great talking with you and appreciate you having me on.
Listeners, I so hope you enjoyed my conversation with David Sells. I have linked to everything we've talked about today in this week's show notes, which you can find at mamaminimalist.com/230. Now, after David and I chatted and recorded it, he wrote to me and he said, you know what, Stephanie, I want to give away some free coffee. So David so generously offered to give away 2 months of organic free coffee for one of you lucky listeners and for one of your friends. You get to pick a friend and you get to give them 2 months of free organic coffee as well. So we're running this giveaway on Instagram just because it's easiest. I've linked to the details and how to enter to win in this week's show notes, also at, yet again, mamaminimalist.com/230. I will see you on Thursday, my friends. Good luck winning that coffee and take care.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.